Good evening. I'd like to call to order the December 2nd, 2025 City of Simpsonville Planning Commission meeting. Before we begin, we have a new commissioner who's joined us for his first meeting. We'd like to welcome Mr. Puzio. We wish you a pleasant and successful tenure here on the commission. Thank you for serving. Mr. Derby, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Commissioner Puzio?
Present.
Commissioner Hirshhorn?
Present.
Commissioner Gillespie?
Present.
Commissioner Whittle?
Here.
Commissioner Wells?
Present.
Commissioner Shannon?
Here.
And Chairperson Giordano?
Okay, if you will, please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, again, I would like to welcome everyone here. Our chairman is absent tonight. He really wanted to be present, but the family matter of way more importance has prevented him from being here. So I will be conducting the meeting. I'm going to be referring to some notes. It's been a while since I've done this. I'm a little bit rusty, so I'll do that to keep us in order and on schedule. If you'll be patient with me, I'd appreciate it. For the commissioners, please, let's kind of take it kind of slow, make sure we're recognized so that we can keep the minutes straight. If we need to come back to someone later, no problem, we'll recognize you again and just keep going. I'd like to explain for the people who've never been to a meeting before for the Planning Commission how the format works, just so that you understand the process and what to expect. Director Derby will introduce an item. It looks like tonight we only have one item on the agenda. Then at that time, we'll hear from the applicant or the applicant's representatives, and anything that they want to share with us, we may have questions for them. That's optional. They're not obligated to come up. After that, we'll open the floor to public comments. We've got a lot of public here tonight, and so we'll, if you want to come up and speak, we'll ask you to step up to the microphone over there at the podium. And if you will, when you do so, please identify yourself by your first and last name and your home address. We'd like for you to limit your comments to 3 minutes each. We've got a lot of folks that may want to speak. If we ask that you keep the your comments pertinent to the application that we're hearing tonight. And also, just bear in mind that if you know several people are speaking and they all kind of have the same thing they want to say, if you wish to, use the time as you wish, but if you wish to just step up and identify yourself and then say, I just reiterate what they said, or I agree, and you know that would be sufficient to get your point across. But you do that how you wish to. We'll listen to everyone who wants to speak. Once that's done, I will also point out, if you have questions and concerns, we're here to hear you and hear your comments and concerns, but that portion of the meeting is really not a question and answer session. So we want to listen to you, hear your concerns, and hear your questions. And then hopefully through our discussions with the applicant and staff, we'll be able to answer those questions and address those concerns for you. But that'll be the time where we'll do our best to do that. From there, we'll entertain a motion, and from there a second. And following that, the commissioners will discuss their thoughts on the application with one another, here before you, of course. And then we'll hold a vote. Now, again, we have a new commissioner, and for a situation that may occur where some of the commissioners didn't experience that this year, I'd just like to remind them that a motion in a second is not your vote or a signal of intent of your vote. So, you know, we need the motions to get to the point of the discussion, at which point during the discussion amongst us, your viewpoint may change or what you plan to vote may change. So that's an information gathering part that's very important for us to get to. So just a point of order there to bear in mind. But the bottom line is your motion and your vote are two completely different things. Okay, with that said, our first order is to approve the minutes. I trust that all the commissioners have had an opportunity to review the minutes. So if I can get a motion to approve. the minutes of November 6, 2025.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Okay, Commissioner Whittle did make the motion. Commissioner Shannon, second. All in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? And it passes. Okay. At this time, Mr. Derby, would you introduce our first item?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let's make sure your microphones are, Mr. Hershore, I think yours
it's not
is
not working. There it goes. Nope. Keeps going back to red.
I'm going to grab another one out of there. I think we had a problem with one of those. I think the attorney's microphone wasn't working last.
Here, we have to.
All right. Commissioners, on your screen is the location on Hammond Road. One parcel, 133 Hammond Road, is split by Hammond. It's totaling right around, I think, 15 acres. The bottom corner, bottom lower corner with the ending tax map number 900 was around 13. The current zoning in Greenville County is RS. What they are requesting is R mid and R high. The R mid will be to the larger track on the left side and combining the two across Hammond Road as R high. What they're asking is just for a residential zoning designation. They do not have a set plan ready. They're just trying to get the zoning designation for those two parcels. So let's see. This is Hammond Road looking south. Right in front of 133, looking towards West Georgia Road. The future comprehensive plan, exterior map, has this as partial activity area and residential neighborhood. So current zoning is RS. What they're asking for is R-mid and R-high.
Okay, very good. Before we proceed, do any of the commissioners have any ex parte communication that they would like to report on this application? And do any commissioners have any conflict of interest on this matter that they might should recuse themselves? Okay. Showing none, now would be the time. Is there a representative for the applicant or an applicant who would like to address the commission on behalf of the applicant? Okay. Just, if you will, state your name and then address. And
yes, sir. My name is Waverly Wilkes. I work for Gray Engineering at 132 Pilgrim Road here in Greenville. Also here with me is the developer as well. So if he can have the opportunity to speak after me, that would
absolutely
be great. Awesome. So what we are proposing is an annexation request for two pieces of property. As was mentioned, one is bisected by Hammond Road. So everything to the west of Hammond Road is the R mid. Everything to the right is R high, is our request and our intent. For this particular property, we are looking at two residential developments on the left side or western side. Those are planned to be single family homes, where on the right is planned to be townhomes. These are definitely going to be more of a high-end product type that is being planned here. Something to point out, and I know anytime someone looks at an annexation request, it looks scary when you've got R mid and R high on the docket. Obviously, the density allowed in those is 6 units and then an unlimited density, so it appears to be quite scary in an instance like this. On these properties in particular, you can somewhat see the blue lines and the wetlands that are going through these. Not only does that pose a development challenge, but due to Greenville County regulations, there are significant buffers that are going to be off the wetlands. So a lot of that developable land starts shrinking very quickly on these properties. So for instance, and I do actually have a very preliminary site plan. If you would let me pass these around, I'm happy to share them. Okay.
Was this not included in our package? Thank you.
So this is something we wanted to share as kind of to show concept. I know oftentimes when we do submit a layout with a packet, we get bogged down in the layout of the actual development. This is really to show what that developable land is. So on the plan before you, there are significant buffers along the wetland. So it's 100 foot or 50 foot, depending on the drainage basin, which with three blue lines, that does take up a decent amount of land. So with that, we are proposing approximately 45 single-family units on the western side with approximately 55 townhome units on the right side. So not quite as scary. I think if you do the math and you do the acreage, you look somewhere in the 250-plus range of units is what would be permitted on these. We're more so around the 100-unit mark. So I do hope that that would ease some fears right off the bat of something massive coming in. That is not the intent here at all. A good bit of due diligence has been done on this property. I think years ago this may have came before Planning Commission. And so we really wanted to make sure we knew exactly what this property needed, and we came to you with a complete package. So for instance, these properties, there's no water line on this section of Hammond Road. There is not sewer readily accessible to this section of Hammond Road. And these are very costly and expensive upgrades that not only benefit the development but also benefit those in the area. We would be extending a full water line complete with fire hydrants all the way down Hammond, which is not currently there. And then the plan is to run a gravity sewer line, which would not only increase Simpsonville sewer capacity through this area, but would also have a gravity sewer option to this rather than a pump station or different alternatives that may be out there. So those are two things that are substantial improvements that are planned for and in the budget. Additionally, knowing that Hammond Road is currently a county road, that can be narrow. There has also been funds allocated for improvements of Hammond Road as well. So there's been, like I said, a good bit of due diligence as far as what was needed for this site, not just let's annex it and hope for the best. So with that, we are here to answer any questions that you may have. I can address anything site plan related as far as how we navigate that, or if there's any questions about what that due diligence looks like, what sort of budget numbers we're looking to put here, because it is definitely an investment in the area and in Simpsonville with the additional cost.
Sure.
To develop this land.
Okay, and you said that your developer is here, yes, as well to speak. So what we'll do, we'll hear from both of you, if there's anyone else with you, and then we'll open for public comments, and we're going to ask you to come back up probably.
I understand. So,
thank you.
Mr. Acting Chairman, Planning Commissioners, thank you. Milton Shockley, I'm here as a potential developer. Happy to answer any questions. Just wanted to give a little bit of my background. I'm a native South Carolinian and Greenvillian. My dad lived on Pliny Mountain Circle here with Mary Trudy Case, Case Piano Company, which on East Curtis had a unit down here for a number of years that we were involved. My daughter's in Bridgewater Subdivision down here on the left. I live in Five Forks myself with the Simpsonville address. And just looking forward, hopefully, to continue to have some development here in this part of the county. So I don't know. Happy to come up later to see whatever questions we can answer, but excited about this opportunity. It's I think a great opportunity for the city and for us, and we're looking forward to working together with you guys to solve whatever problems or questions or answers we could have.
Very good. Thank you. And as I say, we'll give you guys the opportunity to probably come back and answer some questions. You can decide who needs to. Thank you, Mr. Shockley. Anyone else on behalf of the applicant at this time? Okay. Well, with that, we're now going to open the floor for public comments, and we'll let you decide who comes up first. And after that, we'll hear from Director Derby and the staff's report.
My name is Robbie Kellett. Sorry, there's a little echo in here. Robbie Kellett, live at 200 Hammond Road. We have already been to the city about annexation of this property in the past. It was turned down. The city decided not to annex that property. That property exits off or egress off of Hammond Road. The road is 18 foot wide at its widest point. You have ditch to ditch. There's no right of way down that road. You cannot exit off of Hammond Road onto West Georgia Road at any time of the day unless you go to the gym with me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay, that's about the only time you can get out on that road. That means that everything from this property is going to be pushed all the way back up Hammond onto Balcom and around to either Standing Springs or West Georgia Road. Okay, the problems with this is that if you are zoning this for R mid or R high, my understanding from your website is that that can be townhomes or apartments. Now, I know that the developer is telling you that this is what's going to happen this time. That doesn't potentially mean that that's going to hold his feet to the fire and this is the only thing that can be there. Okay, we've seen those developments happen before. They put through a plan. Then when the plan actually comes about, it's not the plan. Okay, it could be taken from that developer to someone else. So my issue is that, you know, my question is, how many townhomes or apartments can you have in R High? Because according to your website, it can be townhomes or apartments. Am I correct or incorrect? If it's R mid, you know, you're still pushing, according to them, 55 homes, two vehicles per home going out on the street there. Those would be my questions. The other part would be that they're offering to, I guess, to enhance Hammond Road by running sewer, running water. I would say that the people in this room are happy with Hammond Road the way it is.
Yes.
Okay? They don't really want anything else on Hammond Road. I don't need... the fire department's up the street from me. There's a fire hydrant there. I have city water. I really don't need anything else. I don't need trash service. Fire department's there. I don't need police service. If I do, I can call Greenville County. So those are my questions. And if they can answer those would be great. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kellett.
Great.
Who else would like to step up?
My name is Amber Burdett. I live at 115 Hammond Road, and we also own 111 Hammond Road. I've lived in this town long enough to remember when it was quiet, simple. I think the city motto is simply home, and that's what it was, which is why I chose to come back here to raise my family and to raise it on Hammond Road. We have open space, we have wildlife, we have peace that comes with living in a community that isn't overcrowded or overdeveloped. That's why further development on this road concerns me. Every new project tips away at the environment that has defined this area for generations. We're losing green space that supports native plants, wildlife, and we're adding more traffic that's already stretched thin on these roads. And once these natural areas are gone, they don't come back. I want to speak as a homeowner who has invested deeply in this city. My property isn't just where I live. It's one of my family's biggest long-term investments, and we own two properties on this road. Overdevelopment threatens that value for my family and for my children. When a road becomes congested, noisy, or overcrowded, property values drop. This charm and character that once made this area desirable began to fade, and so does the investment that many of us have worked hard to build. Look at this room. This is generations that live on Hammond Road. Growth can be good, but responsible, balanced growth matters more. We shouldn't sacrifice the character of our road, the health of our environment, or the stability of our property values for short-term development gains. Our kids deserve to inherit a place that still feels like the small-town community many of us grew up in. Nature is part of our daily life and not something pushed out to make room for more buildings. I'm asking you to consider what we stand to lose. Protecting this road isn't about stopping progress. It's about preserving the very things that make this town worthy of calling home. Protecting the investments of families like mine that have we have made here. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. Thank you. My family, my name is Brennan Townsend. My family lives at 161 South Baldwin Road, which is not quite shown on the map that was presented there, but it is the other outlet of Hammond Road. So coming off of Hammond Road, you can get to West Georgia Road, or you can go to South Baldwin. And from South Baldwin, you have the option of Standing Springs or West Georgia. And if any of y'all have ever tried to drive on either of those roads between 7 a.m. and 8:30 a.m. or 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., you will know that it is essentially a standstill. It is a standstill trying to get off of 385 in the afternoons also, because there's nowhere to go on West Georgia Road or Standing Springs Road. So in addition to the traffic issues created coming off of Hammond onto West Georgia, as Mr. Kellett spoke of, it is also going to drive traffic on South Baldwin, which connects those two roads. And we have already had an incredible increase in traffic because of townhomes and apartments that have been built on either side of that road. We had 5 speed bumps installed. We were hoping that would help, but it hasn't. It's still constantly a cut through. I have trash in my front yard every single day of the week, Bojangles bags, beer cans, people cutting through and throwing their garbage, and it's disgusting. In addition to that, the road is crumbling away. South Baldwin is crumbling away on both sides because of the amount of traffic and the failure to keep it up, and it's not wide enough for 2 cars to pass safely. My mailbox is opposite from my property, so I have to walk across the street, and it is taking my life into my own hands at any time of the day to check my mail because the people that speed through South Baldwin. It's just this kind of development. I appreciate the idea of progress. I appreciate high-end townhomes and high-end single-family homes. But as Mr. Kellett said, we don't really know what will go in there. It's nice to promise those sorts of things. But regardless of the character of what's going in, it's the amount of increased traffic that is the real issue here. There's just nowhere. There's nowhere to go now. It's difficult to turn off South Baldwin onto West Georgia or Standing Springs at almost any time of day, and there's just nowhere to put all these other cars going. So thank you. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, my name is Scott Smith, and I and my wife, Sherry, live at 146 Hammond Road. Her maiden name was Sherry Hammond. Her father was Bud Hammond, which I'm sure many of you probably know, and her grandfather was Henry Hammond, and the majority of the property along that road was one time owned by him. So as you can guess, it means a lot to us, and I'm speaking for her because she's gone to visit her daughter and grandson in Charleston, so she couldn't be here. So I wanted to speak out on her behalf and my behalf. And, you know, getting back to what Robbie said, you know, we're very happy with our well. We're happy with our septic system. So the addition of the water and sewer and everything is not really a big benefit for us. The traffic, as everybody has mentioned, you know, I was going down Hammond Road the other day, and if you have two standard-sized trucks trying to pass each other, one of them's got to kind of go off to the side of the road to pass. So so that's a difficulty. I'd like to ask a couple of questions. First of all, you guys were handed a preliminary site plan of what's being proposed. Is there any way we can see that? I don't know if somebody could take a picture and put it up on the screen or whatever, but be helpful. Second question is, it's my understanding that two different people own these properties now, so I'd like to know if that's correct. And then follow-up to that is, if this zoning change goes through, would the developer be purchasing those properties from those people? And it's also my understanding that that developer could turn around and sell it to another developer, which their plan may be considerably different from what we're being shown now. So that's the other question that I have. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Who's next?
My name is Brandon Burdett. I live at 115 Hammond, and I own 111 Hammond. In regards to the proposed annexation and the potential development, some of the questions on behalf of some of the residents on Hammond Road, representing some of the questions for them: what are the traffic plans for the development, the locations for the egress and entrances? Has any due diligence been performed to confirm the utilities and the traffic management? And how will the development be supplied with utilities, power, gas, water, sewer? Many residents don't have access to them. And will the amenities be made available to them as well? That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
My name is Janet Jones. I live at 1038 West Georgia Road. We also own 1034 West Georgia Road. Both of our properties back up to the property that is allocated for the townhomes. First of all, right now, luckily we can get out through the back of our property to Hammond Road, because part of our property's on Hammond, part of it's on West Georgia. To get out of our driveway onto West Georgia Road, we count 150 to 200 cars. And it's pretty bad when the post office comes to us and asks, because we have a oval driveway, can we put your mailbox at the end of your front walk? We are afraid of getting killed. That's how busy West Georgia Road is down to the corner of Hammond. To come out of Hammond is almost impossible. Every day at 5 o'clock, when my husband and I are at home, or sit out on the deck, our dogs are out, we hear the sirens. It's every day. And we go, it must be 5 o'clock. Also, trying to get home to my house, coming by Food Line, the traffic, you see taillights all the way up to Standing Springs as far as you can see. Then you see an ambulance coming or a fire truck. You know, or even the police have to go down the opposite side of the road, and I know that it's a state road, but people have nowhere to go. It's just ditches, deep ditches up and down the road. There's nowhere for the emergency vehicles to get down the road without going down the opposite side of the traffic on a two-lane road. So people want to build there, and they'll go, oh, well, you know, you're this close to 385, and we have restaurants. No, the restaurants, I mean, unless you want to get Waffle House or Zaxby's, is right close to 385. I mean, everybody will be going to Fairview Road. Well, look at a mess that we have on Fairview Road. The traffic can't handle much more. And people are already upset about not being able to get emergency to them on time, especially on down the road past Standing Springs. So my situation is it's only their only outlets are Hammond Road unless they buy more property, which I know they could if they have the pockets for it. And I'm not against development. It's just cookie-cutter houses, one after another. And I know the property behind us with the creeks, we've already dealt with more water when they built the apartments.
Yes, ma'am.
Up by Food Line. So I'm worried about the water, all the springs.
I'm going to have to ask you to try to wrap it up so we can get some more in. The 3 minutes has expired.
But I just wanted to
thank you to
let you know about that because people are upset about the traffic.
We appreciate hearing from you. Thank you.
My name is Tom Dunn. I live at 204 South Baldwin Road. I didn't come here expecting to speak, but I can't help but not. I live right at the corner of Hammond and South Baldwin. That street has become a small highway. They've had to put speed bumps on the street. I pick up car parts in my front yard regularly. We've been living there. My parents have been there since 68. I built my house on part of that property in 97. And it's just changed. Now, you talk about all the traffic and everything, but we have a lot of people who walk, ride bicycles, walk their dogs. They have to cut through our yards to keep from getting hit because that corner is so dangerous. Okay? You're just piling on. So what green space there is amongst all the homes on Baldwin, all the apartments down at Food Line, all around us, they all come through there. That's their green space. And a lot of them leave, you know, driving through or throwing their trash out like they spoke about. It's just, you know, at some point, it's just getting to be too much. The roads are not keeping up with the growth at all. And nobody's even talked about the schools. You know, these kids, these homes are going to have kids. Where are they going to school? These schools are full. It's just, you know, I understand open land is going to be developed, but it needs to be developed in a proper way that's going to be consistent with the neighbors and with what's going on. And it constantly, we're getting surrounded. They're putting more of them up there across from the Sphinx, another 80 units. Where are they going to start building homes, individual homes where people can have yards? And just not pile them in apartments, condos, and all this kind of stuff. It's just, you know, some limits. I feel like Robbie said, we're going to be back here over and over and over until somebody decides that this property and the property in that area is going to be used for not such a dense, you know, population of apartments and stuff. It's just, you know, hadn't heard anything about what we're going to do. What are they going to do about the roads? Are they going to put some red lights somewhere? I mean, you know, you finally got something going on up at the corner of West Georgia and Neely Ferry. I don't know if any of you guys even drive up and down any of them streets. Go ride up and down. I get to the corner of West Georgia Road, Standing Springs. My sister lives in the big white farmhouse there. I get up there in the morning to leave the turn. The light turns red. I hope I can make the turn. If I'm third in line, I'm going to wait another red light just to make the turn. So we're full. We're full. Simpsonville's full.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, commissioners. My name is Martine Hillou Allen, and I live at 117 Mosley Road. And I'm going to share with you my heart, okay? And also, full disclosure, I also do sit on a state board, but I'm not here on that behalf.
I'm sorry, what state board?
I'm on the state board, South Carolina Opioid Recovery Fund Board. My family, the Kahili family, has owned land, quite a considerable amount of land, at the corner of Mosley Road and East Standing Springs Road since the 70s. My grandparents lived right across the street when I first came over from Lebanon. I ended up living here and traveling back to Lebanon and spent 10 years there until I came back in 2014. One of the reasons why I came back was to be back in Simpsonville, because I love this place. I love my house. I love the land. I love the people and my neighbors. The infrastructure of our area is not going to support this proposed development. It wasn't made for that. People come, honestly, and they go to stop at the cows that are on the corner of Mosley and East Standing Springs Road. You know why? Because they miss it. They like the land. It's a treasure. Our little area is a treasure. And we would like to keep it that way. The infrastructure simply cannot handle it. When you go down Hammond Road, you have to stop if a school bus is driving by. I'm afraid to walk at certain times of the day because I've almost gotten hit. I've got two boys that I will not even let ride bikes at certain hours of the day. Baldwin Road, they're not kidding. People fly through there. People fly down Mosley Road because West Georgia Road and East Standing Springs Road cannot handle the traffic, so everybody's got to cut through in order for them to get anywhere. It's ruining our quality of life. And I just want you to know that. And I don't want that to leave. There's also another concern of mine, in case you've not heard, but there at the apartments, when the apartments were being built, I called and I said, what's coming there? Apartment complex, and also Waffle House and all of that. I do not let my kids walk there because of all the drugs. And I do drug prevention for teens, so I know it. All the drugs that are in that apartment complex. If you sit out there at about 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the afternoon, you're going to see people standing out there, the same people. You know why? Kids are waiting for their dealers. We're already dealing with that. So I really hope that you all consider this and consider all of us being here and understand that this would be a severe compromise to our quality of life. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for allowing us to speak. My name is Brian Jones. I live at the corner of Hammond and West Georgia, 1038, and we also own 1034. You've heard a lot of passion here tonight, a lot of fear, and a lot of concern. We have come together before this committee 2 years ago with Zenith Properties wanting to expand. They offered something that was more constructive, at least. Here, we don't even know what is being proposed. They put it on the table up front. Sir, you mentioned in the opening statements that if we have questions that aren't answered, that you will follow up and get the answers to us. I would like to know how that will be conducted.
So what I said was, we're here to listen to you and hear your concerns and hear your questions. Through our deliberation up here, as we talk with the applicant and with staff, we'll do our best to gather answers to that. There's no guarantee I can, but you're here, so you're here to hear our discussions.
But there will be questions. There are already questions that can't be answered by this committee at this time. How will we get the answers to those?
Again, we're here to listen to you.
I understand.
Yes, sir.
I'm using my time. Are there further plans of expansion, is what we would like to know. if other properties are acquired? If so, how will those properties be developed, and what type of zoning will they offer? Because the adjoining properties around there are still subject to sale. We found out that Hammond will be a fund set aside, but how will they handle the intersection of Hammond and West Georgia Road? It is not a 90-degree turn. It's 130 on one angle and about a cutoff angle on the other. It's very difficult. The school bus cannot make the turn to go up the road without going into my ditch. Who's going to be responsible for maintaining West Georgia Road afterwards? We understand that the city and the county, it being a county road, that the city cannot take a spot section of it. Will the entire road then become responsibility for maintenance and control by the city? The road is currently not wide enough, as everyone has stated. How will the stormwater be controlled coming off of this land? As it was shown in the plot map, we are at the bottom of the intersection at Hammond and West Georgia Road. The creeks from the apartment complex at the Food Lion, the creek that comes off of the Hammond family pond, all come to a confluence and flow through our property. I've owned the property for 33 years come December 29th this year. At that time, I've only seen the creek flood about four times until that development. And we're talking Tropical Storm Jerry when we had 17 inches in 24 hours. Since the apartment complex has gone in, it is common if we get a 3-inch rainfall, I have flooding that's eroding my property. This is a huge concern as to how this will be managed. In closing, I know my time limit's up. I want to thank everyone that came out tonight. All of you show the concern and love that you have for our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there
about to wreck your pass here. My name is Billy Lark. I live at 174 Hammond Road, and been out there for 35 years. I bought on the Hammond property that's on Hammond Road. His name, Dad. We have his one of the last sons here with us tonight, Wayne Hammond. I'm sure all y'all know him. He was from run Henry's Barbecue for quite a few years over here. So that being said, I was really surprised, to be honest with you guys and everybody, when I seen these signs go up on the property down there. It was we thought we'd put that to bed in 2023, but obviously it didn't. It was proven then that the traffic flow on West Georgia Road and Hammond Road, and Hammond Road could not take that traffic. And here we're looking at it again, when there's been more development on West Georgia Road and putting up more subdivisions and houses and townhomes and all of that. So that's added to that traffic level already on West Georgia Road. I'm going to tell you a little story about it tonight. I left my house tonight. I cannot turn left off of Hammond Road to come to this building or go anywhere else in town. From at 8 o'clock in the morning to 6, 7:30 at night, you just almost cannot turn left to go towards town. You have to go all the way around, go down Balcom, come out that way. It's a missing justice to put that much traffic and that much housing on that road, and you guys know that. But I want to, the main thing being said, we're not trying to stop these people from selling their property. We know that that's something that just came out. And it's we're not trying to stop them at all from selling. They have a right to sell their property. But you have the right to protect the people in this building right here, sirs and ma'am, if there's any here. You have that right to protect the people that's already on that road, because neither one of those property owners is right now, it lives on that road. They don't know what we face every day. Mr. Johnson, the Johnson property, he has not lived on that land since he was a young teenager. He left out, finished high school and went to Florida and has been back. He's just inherited that hot property through his partner. The other man down here has had offers after offers on his property over the years. Robert Kelly himself tried to buy that property back years ago. And the man didn't want to sell it, but he don't live on it. No, he lives over in Holly Tree. So that's what we're looking at now. It's a misinjustice for y'all to put that property and that many cars on that road and endanger the people that's already there and the people that's going to be coming there. It's a misinjustice to them if they get there, because they're going to be the same way. They can't get out. I want to thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. And y'all have a good night.
Thank you, sir. Would anyone else like to come up and speak?
My name is Pat Reynolds. I live on 102 Castle Hall Court. It's in Morning Mist subdivision, so a little further down West Georgia Road. I am not directly connected with anyone on Hammond Road.
Ms. Reynolds,
I just want to give my perspective.
I want to just confirm, did you send an email on all the commissioners?
I did send you an email.
Okay.
I'm not going to repeat everything there.
No.
Everyone,
I just wanted it to be on the record that we all received
much,
it
yes.
And have reviewed it. Thank you.
The people here have said just about everything I said in the email. I've lived in Simpsonville, or where I live, for nearly 14 years now. I've driven West Georgia a lot. I've passed Hammond many, many times. Today, on my way home from town, I decided I'm going to drive down it. That part of West Georgia where you turn onto Hammond is a two-lane road. It is not going to be widened by DOT. When I turned onto Hammond, fortunately, I was going really slow because, as somebody said, it's a very acute turn. I was almost in the opposite lane as I turned off West Georgia Road. As I drove up Hammond, I thought, this is a country lane. My house is off Barker Road. I was told Barker Road was a country lane. This is narrower. So traffic is a huge concern. Everything else, I'm just going to say, I support everything that everybody else has said. One thing I do not think anyone has brought up is that if you were to approve those two lots for our mid and our high, then you're opening up everything around it also to our mid and our high, because they could say it's abutting, this has been approved. So anything else by it could be approved as well. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for doing that. Anyone else? Okay.
Hello, my name is Mark Knight. I live at 118 Mosley Road. That was my family's property prior to myself.
Excuse me. Restate your last name, please.
Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T.
Thank you.
You're welcome. As I said, 118 Mosley Road, that was my late father-in-law and mother-in-law's property prior to us, and they were there in 83. Prior to that, Lou Cahilly built that in 72. I have children on the road as well that live there. I have three sons. I have neighbors with sons, and it is a big concern to us. I know traffic was brought up, but, you know, we always talk about it all the time. But my son the other day was run off the road, 17 years old, so if you've ever had a teen driver, you can appreciate that. The other thing I would just want to say is that, you know, the creek down there in 118 Mosley Road, once you pass that, you go down there, that's washed out twice. They've done some sort of patch job to it, but the cars fly down the hill 70 miles an hour, kids right there on the side of the road. And lastly, I want to say the schools, they were at capacity. When the apartments went in, Redwoods went in, all of our children here have gone to Plain Elementary, and there's no room left. So just want to state that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If there's no one else that would like to get up and speak, we will close the floor for the public comment section. Okay, we have one more, please.
Hi. I'm Sybil Fisher. I live at 214 and 212 Hammond Road. I raised my daughter at 214 Hammond Road, and now she has a granddaughter. I have a granddaughter that will be graduating this year. And my husband used to be a locksmith here for many years. Now, I request each and every one of y'all commissioners to come out to our section, go by and look and count all the housing developments, count all the people that's renting apartments. What's going to happen in years to come when all these places start going down? And we already with them new have druggies walking the road trying to sell. And we got all these young people. We got grammar schools that you can't even get to pick up your children. I don't know what it's coming to, but I do request every one of y'all get in your vehicles. I don't care where y'all live. Get in your vehicles. Come out and look how many apartments and housing developments and people has the right to sell their property. But we cannot keep putting everything in that area because you're drowning out Simpsonville. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else that would like to speak regarding this application? Okay, at this time I will close the floor for the public comment section. At this time, Director Derby, can we hear from staff, please?
Sure. Thank you, Vice Chair and Commission. We do hear the concerns that was brought up by the citizens. This did go before Planning Commission and Council back in 2023. It was the same concerns. It was the road, traffic, and the intersection there at Hammond Road, West George Road. I would definitely suggest that we have the engineer come back up and kind of go over what traffic impact has been done, what will be done, what will be required. Hammond Road is owned by Greenville County. That's a Greenville County road. When development comes in, they will go before the SAC for their comments and reviews and be requested to do improvements based off the development there. Same thing with the schools as well as SCDOT. So those are, we have the same concerns, but I'd like to get a little bit of understanding of the what the applicant plans to do to kind of address those for one. Overall, it's in our comp plan to, you know, grow in that area, so it meets the zoning-wise of that, provided that it meets the requirements by Greenville County and SCDOT. Staff does support that. The improvements that are out there, West George Road, they're going to be done by DOT, but there's no timeline when that's going to be done. But there is, if there are required improvements on that road, they will be required by the developer. So that's one thing that will be, that we know DOT knows that that is a bad intersection. That road is heavily traveled, but they're not going to improve it anytime soon. What will improve it is development on that road that needs the approval from DOT as well as Greenville County. So that was that. I think one I can answer question regarding unit counts out there. Again, what's being requested is R mid on the left side, R high. That is just the zoning. With any application that comes in, it comes to Planning Commission or it goes to Council. That's something I always advise them, that look at the use that's allowed there, not what's being presented. You know, that's the intent. It's what they want to do here is development. There are some topography issues out there, so there will be some limitations of what they can do there, but what's allowed there is single family on one side and R mid at the density that's allowed, which is 6,000 square foot lots. That's if you were to build lot line to lot line. That's a pretty high number. Our high, it's a density. I think the person asked about that. Just want to give you the number. 1 second. Our high has a density for attached or multifamily at 14 units an acre. So that's over 5 acres is 14 units an acre. Again, what the engineer expressed earlier, that is a scary number when you look at lot line to build that. But once you put in buffers from Greenville County, the right-of-way setbacks and just the physical ability to put a house there, that number gets greatly reduced. But at the same time, the amount of improvements they're going to have to do here is astonishing. The amount of funds they're going to have to put aside just to make this project work. So that's one of the reasons why the density is what's being proposed at that. So from a staff perspective, with the improvements that we're going to know that Greenville County and SE&D would require, staff does support this.
Okay. So right now we can ask Director Derby questions if you like. We can go ahead and call up the developers. Commissioners have questions for the staff?
I do have a question.
Okay.
Can you explain the difference between, between the RS current designation and the county in terms of density, and how does that differ from the requested R-mid and R-high?
RS is single family, and I think it's based off a couple criteria. The road that it fronts, and if there's water on site. I think the general rule is 25,000 square foot lots in RS. So pretty... That's larger than what we have anywhere in the city, zoning-wise. So 25,000, and I think if you don't have water, it actually goes up higher, the requirement.
It's 2 acres.
That's all regulated through DHEC. They have their requirements for amount of lot sizes. So does Greenville County LDR.
So... Assumption is correct then that under the current, if it stays RS in the county, they would not be able to build this development as shown here because of the density.
Not that I'm aware of. Applicant, correct me if I'm wrong on that.
And in clarification, the R-mid zoning was how many square feet or for a lot?
R-mid allows 6,000 square foot lot. They do not allow townhomes only. They do allow townhomes, but the townhomes also have to be 6,000, which is not very common for a townhome development. So what you have there is pretty much track single-family detached lots there at 6,000 square foot each.
The R-mid allows track homes as well? Or
it does allow homes? Attached, but there's a stipulation in there that the lots have to meet the lot width. So it's typical townhomes are going to be skinnier lots, somewhere between 20, 25-foot wide lots. Our mid has a 30-foot road frontage, so every lot has to be 30 feet wide. And not too many places build townhomes that are 30 feet wide. So,
anything else, Mr. Wells, for Mr. Derby at this time?
Is there any reason why this couldn't be a planned development district rather than just giving the zoning as is with open architecture?
The one that went in 2022 was a planned development. They were trying to bring some infrastructure to this area, and they did propose a ID development, which is, if everyone's familiar with a PD, is a planned development that has pretty much deed restrictions per zoning. So that was what they were proposing, and that was just the larger track and the one that just jumps across the street, and that was, I believe, around 55 units. So it had restrictions on it, setbacks, design, and that was one that was denied in 2022-23. But nothing stopping them from anybody from wanting to do that.
Good.
And confirming as well, in the 10-year plan, although this is not in the city currently, annexation was part of the comprehensive plan for the city?
That map that I showed you is just a guiding document, visual, to help us when these kind of applications come in. So we have a little bit of an idea how we want this to grow. It's fluid. It could change over time. A lot of the areas on that map show more of activity area, And we're kind of switching towards residential more just because of sewer capacity.
But it was, we did want to annex it though as well, though. We didn't want to leave it out of the city unincorporated.
That's where we wanted to grow. That's okay. The vision we, the city had out for our 2040 comp plan.
Mr. Shannon.
I would like to hear more about the funding for the road development for that, that particular. She said something
we'll bring the developers up here in just a moment. I just wanted to give everybody a chance to talk with Mr. Derby. We can do so again as we go along. Mr. Pizzo, anybody? Okay. Who would y'all like to come up and answer questions, or do you want to hear the questions first and decide then? It doesn't matter. Whatever you feel comfortable with. We've already got you on record, name and address and all that. So I think Mr. Shannon would like to start.
This, well, my concern is more about the traffic and the access to the roads that you guys mentioned about setting aside a budget or some type of allocation for that road. Can you explain more about what you had in mind or what the plans are?
So as Mr. Derby, he had mentioned, obviously there's a lot to develop a project. We go through a lot of meetings and a lot of steps. And so a part of that, not knowing the density or the zoning that we have, it's really hard to gauge and hire out a traffic survey this early. That would be a requirement of any approval that we would ever receive as a part of this. Unless you're building two homes, they're basically going to require a traffic study. So as a part of that, obviously Greenville County would be involved. We've had a lot of experience with them with roads that have a tendency to be smaller than your average 24-foot wide road. And so knowing that we based our budget off of that widening that is typically seen. Once again, until we submit, they don't exactly detail out our requirements. In that same at SAC, at the Subdivision Advisory Committee, DOT is a part of that as well. So DOT would be reviewing the actual site plan itself, the unit counts, the ingress, egress, those locations. We have to confirm site distance, prove it on a plan. They also look at that visually in the field. And then as a part of that, they do the traffic study scope, and then we have to get approval of the traffic study with what they agree with. Something that is always really important, especially when there's an intersection, is as oftentimes as it seems, this, you know, XYZ would be the fix. The DOT has very strict standards when certain things can be installed. So we really have to wait and lean on them to tell us what that is, which we are prepared to do. That was the part, is I just wanted to make sure that, you know, no one's under the impression that we're just going to go build this and not do anything to improve the area. Just wanted to make sure everyone knew that that budget was allocated in our planning.
Is, so you obviously don't know yet, but as a, based on your opinion, is it likely that they would require at minimum you to widen the street to 24 feet?
Typically, right of way plays a big portion in that. And so it is what you're able to do. Obviously, there is a portion of road that we do not control. We don't control the frontage of it. So that would put limitations of just how wide we could go, because it is a prescriptive ditch to ditch right of way along this section of Hammond Road. So it does limit us to that right of way width that's out there. And so typically what that looks like is you widen as much as you can, a couple feet on either side, and then you mill and overlay to give you a nice surface.
Mr. Shannon, do you have any other questions?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Wells?
What's your total budget for infrastructure improvements to make this project work?
And we classify this in two ways. So we do a on-site, which of course is the development cost, which of course that is more of a developer statement, probably something that no one cares to think about. But we do have our off-site improvement costs. So that would be the water line, gravity sewer line. It would also be the landscaping along Hammond Road. It would be the road improvements. It would be all the due diligence, the engineering that goes along with it. Just that alone is close to $1.9 million. If you're looking, adding in on-site, we're over $6 million of improvement for the total development in itself. So it is a substantial investment, which is why truly that high-end product, that's not just me up here saying it, to make the numbers work, that's what it has to yield, is a large part of that. So.
I think he's still recognized right now. We can come back to you.
There was a question earlier about utility development. So the if this were approved, that you would be in charge of installing new water systems, upgrading existing mains. Mm-hmm. Anyone that is existing that you're passing by with the new water, they would get access to that as well, correct?
Yes.
They could link in with a meter.
Yes, they would all.
The utilities.
Once we install them, they get turned over to Greenville Water, and people can attach on at will.
So you have to pay for building the lines in, and then you hand them over to the county, and then the county owns them.
Yes. Yes. So those are public lines. Same thing with sewer. Those would be public as well.
Quick question, also.
Is there any reason why you could not bring this back before us with a PDD?
So that was discussed, and that's absolutely something, you know, we would look at doing in the past when we come with a PD, and especially when it's somewhat of what some would consider a standard development. We've gotten some negative feedback in that, saying that we were not using the zoning appropriately. So if that was certainly something that would be more comfortable with, that's something we would definitely entertain. Absolutely.
Me personally, I would be a lot more comfortable with a high density residential if I had the PDD.
I get it. I understand.
That's all my questions.
Sure thing. Mr. Shannon.
In your plans, would you also think about adding sidewalks outside your complex also? Would that something that you would consider?
As far as where? I'm sorry.
On the external.
Like the road frontage along Cammons?
That's correct.
I don't see why. I would say we would only be able to do anything along the frontage that we control.
Because I'm hearing about our concern from our citizens in reference to traffic and the ability to enjoy the surroundings they're in. There has to be some type of way you can compromise by bringing in something that will also help the community that you're in also. Is that something we want?
If we could, on the section that we control,
yes.
I'd say oftentimes it ends up, unless there's something to connect it to, it looks a little awkward. But if that was something that everyone would be on board with, and say we could connect it to something.
Thank you. Yes, thank you.
Good. Mr. Puzio.
Yeah, some people had some concerns about stormwater and flooding. I saw in your plan that you provided to us up here some detention ponds. I didn't know if you wanted to speak more about your plans to mitigate.
Absolutely. Thank you. So a large part of what I do as a civil engineer is stormwater management. And so understanding what that looks like, of course, after Helene came through, that had a kind of scared everybody. But for something like this, where we do have downstream property owners that would be affected, we over-design our ponds. So we're designing that for the 100-year storm event. That is like a worst-case situation. It's above and beyond what South Carolina DES regulations is. So we really make sure to protect the downstream residents. And what that really means is all of the stormwater that we generate on-site, going from a wooded site to impervious roads, grass, you know, roof lines. We get it. It generates more water. All of that water would go into a detention pond, of course, that fills up, and it would hold that worst case scenario, 100-year storm back and slowly release it. What that means, it is typically releasing through about a 24-inch pipe is what's coming out. That's not going through a massive spillway that you're seeing like a deluge of water is what that typically looks like. So that is a high priority for us when we do have downstream residents below any of our developments, and something that Greenville County does check and is very diligent in making sure we do what we're supposed to do.
Anything else? Other commissioner, Mr. Whittle.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Not being sarcastic, but 90%, I'm going to guess, of the development on West George has gone through Greenville County. you folks approach the county with the housing project that you're asking us to consider at this time?
As far as from a zoning perspective? So typically in this area, and in several parts of the county, because it is zoned RS besides what is already in the city of Simpsonville, they would not support a rezone typically in this area. They do look at what is adjacent and what those adjacent uses are, and they exclude any city property from those adjacent uses because it's not in the county is how they look at it. So with this being RS, we would be able to do 25,000 square foot lots. It would be a density of 1.7 units per acre on this property currently as it stands now. And so with that and with all of the infrastructure that is needed to support this development, that number doesn't essentially work out from a math standpoint.
Also, have you done any demand studies and housing needs? Right now, the housing market in the Simpsonville area is not as strong as it has been in the past. And the vacancy rates, I know in the general area I'm from, they're exceeding 10%. Is there a need for another development?
You talk about the vacancy rates for houses for sale?
Single-family homes, yes.
Single-family homes. I started in the real estate business when I was 18 and have lived here my entire life. I'm not aware of a 10% vacancy rate on house sales. We've had, I think we're looking at 56 days right now on the market for selling single-family houses.
Mm-hmm.
Condos have even been shorter than that number. So I'm not familiar with the 10% at this particular time. That's certainly a huge risk that any developer takes is we're assuming we can sell what we're doing. We're going to buy sewer. We're going to buy water. We're going to buy septic tanks, we're going to put in sidewalks potentially, we're going to give them to everybody to use. And if the houses don't sell, it's our problem. So we get it, we certainly understand. As I said, I've lived here all my life, so I'm not aware of the 10% number. If you're saying we're selling 10% less, is that
I've been driving around some of the areas in the West Georgia area, and I've seen a lot more homes up for sale than I have in the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years.
Absolutely. We have 5 million houses across the nation that we're short developing because since COVID and what's happened in those particular arenas. So we feel like that the demand in South Carolina and in Simpsonville and Greenville are extremely above the national average, and not the average, but we're one of the high developable type areas. People are coming to this area. What we're trying to do, or what I'm trying to do as a native Greenvillian, is allow my grandbabies and my children and grandchildren to have ownership instead of all the apartments, all the multifamily developments, all the rental things, where my kids and my grand are paying rent and paying for somebody else's mortgage instead of owning themselves. So that's our goal here, or my goal as a developer, is to make sure that my family and extended family hopefully can own a home, because it's gotten ridiculously expensive, unconsciously expensive to develop. And affordability is what we talk about all the time in all of our counties, and regulatory things and requirements get more and more expensive. And people say, why can't you sell lots cheaper? Why can't you sell houses cheaper? everything piles on, and I just want to make sure my kids can have a house.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commissioners for? Thank you. Thank you very much. I think that you've satisfied what we need at this time. Yes, it would, sir. I'm sorry. We did close public comments. I understand. We've got to keep the order. So at this point, Director Derby, anything final from staff? I know you made your recommendation, but...
No, I just mentioned, a lot of the development we see that gets denied does intend to go to the county. Maybe not in close proximity, but a lot of times these developments do get pushed further out in the county. So some of the people that are looking for homes to be close to the city, they miss out on some of these opportunities. So they end up buying homes that are developed further out, in return, still drive on those roads that are congested. So it's kind of a battle we have from a zoning standpoint. The other properties on here, the two red ones by themselves, the bottom one on Hammond and the ROI, and the ones across the street, a lot of those were annexed back in 2005, I believe, in the hope that one day sewer would come through here and help. And that hasn't happened. So it's kind of a void area in our map. But that's it. Sorry.
Okay. Very good. So at this time, I will entertain a motion on this application. I want to remind the commissioners that a motion is not a vote. That's just to get us to the next step where we can openly discuss this amongst ourselves.
Mr. Chairman, I make the motion to move the project forward.
Okay, we have a motion from Mr. Whittle. Do we? And that is for requested annexation, recommend approval, set forth in ordinance AXZ 2025-05.
Mr. Correct.
Whittle, do we have a second? Okay, this time I will second the motion. So at this point, the panel is open for discussion. Just ask to be recognized and let's share your thoughts. Yes, sir.
I would be okay with the project if it was under a PDD. I don't like handing out that high density zoning without some stricter covenants on what actually can be done. Like many of the public has said, there's no offense to developers, but they could do whatever they want with it after they do get that high density. It's a planned development district. Basically, it says that they will present a site plan to us, and we will approve that exact site plan. So they can't do any serious deviation from the plan without developing it like that.
That's correct. That's right. It's more set for a... looking at kind of a deed restriction. They put down a limit they want to hit, and they're held to that limit regardless.
Anyone else? Any thoughts on this before we move to a vote?
If I may.
Yes, Mr. Hirshhorn.
I just want to say thank you all for coming tonight. We really appreciate your feedback, and I am sympathetic to your concerns. And I also want to remind you that if this is approved, this is not a binding decision at this level. So if it is approved, please come back to the council meeting when they are discussing it at that point as well.
Very good. Anyone else? Okay, we've had a motion. We've had a second. We've had a discussion. This time I will call for a vote. All in favor, please say of approval, recommending approval of requested annexation set forth ordinance AXZ 2025-05, say aye. Aye. Opposed? Nay.
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 Nay. The nays have it. You need a roll call. Commissioner Puzio, aye or nay?
Nay.
Hirshhorn?
Nay.
Gillespie, aye.
Aye.
Whittle? Aye.
Nay.
Chan?
Nay.
Good. Okay, good deal. So that does not pass, so that will be our last item for this evening. We have a couple of more things I need to run through right quick, and then we'll get you out of here. Before we move to adjourn, I'd like to ask commissioners to remain for a few moments following adjournment. You all are welcome to stay if you wish to. We have some commissioners who are not returning, so we'll give them an opportunity just to address staff and commissioners before departing. And again, you're all welcome to stay around if you wish to. We're not quite adjourned yet. Second, for the commissioners, you will be electing officers in January, so please put some thought into that so you're prepared when that time comes. And then lastly, since I chair tonight, I'm going to take a point of personal privilege, and I just want this on the record. This is the end of a five-year term for myself, and I've just observed, enjoyed, and benefited from the time I've served here under the staff that we have. And the work, the attention to detail, their preparation, and their knowledge is really, really helpful to this commission. They're a great resource for us. The city of Simpsonville is just very fortunate to have the quality of people operating that department. So thank you guys for everything that you do. Staff, have anything before we adjourn?
I would just like to echo that. It's been an honor, a privilege to work with you, Mr. Gillespie, Mr. Woodall. I know Mr. Giordano wish he could be here, but appreciate your time serving on the commission, both of y'all.
Well, thank you very much. So at this time, we'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Mr. Woodall has made the motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
And we've got Mr. Horshorn and Mr. Shannon seconding, so we are adjourned. Thank you for coming. So, guys, just